You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
So welcome to You Can't Outrun the Fork. This is the first non-political endeavor by the We Are Libertarians Network. For those of you who have seen or heard We Are Libertarians, this is Brett Bittner. Some of you may be very aware of the Never Bittner movement. And Spengel and I talked about this a while ago, and this was actually something that was inspired by the former intern and now co-host Kat Anagnos. Basically, every time she saw me, she wanted to talk to me about the way that I eat and the things that have changed for me over the last year or so. And so I just kind of decided that this would be something that would be an interesting thing to add to the portfolio of We Are Libertarians. And it's something that Chris thought would be a really awesome addition that's outside the political realm as we build the network. Tonight, what I'm looking at doing is I'm recording a conversation with a friend of mine who I've known for, about 13 years since I lived in Indianapolis the first time. His name is Paul Engel. We worked together in the movie theater industry a million years ago, and then again a few years after that, and we've kept in contact over these years, and he's not really familiar with the journey that I've taken over the last year other than casually catching some things on Facebook here and there. So I thought that the very first episode of You Can't Outrun the Fork would be me talking about why I chose to adopt a ketogenic diet and what it's done for me. And those kind of things. So I'd like to welcome Paul joining us today and being the very first guest on You Can't Outrun the Fork.
I feel so special right now. I cannot imagine.
Well, I am glad to hear that. So, Paul, when you met me, I was a much bigger guy.
Yes, you were.
When we worked together, I was an even bigger guy. It was kind of a joke among those of us when we worked together at Rave that to become a GM, you had to be like 250 pounds or more.
At least. Yeah.
And I think a lot of us kind of blamed it on the crazy hours that we would work and the lack of available options, especially late at night.
Definitely.
Having to eat really fast during the breaks in between sets. But I actually think that this could be something that people could do even if you're, a movie theater manager. It's just a matter of making a few changes in the way that you eat.
Good, because I'm still a movie theater manager.
Awesome.
I still struggle with all of that.
Well, I totally get that. I remember those days, and in all honesty, for me, it kind of came down to a visit to the doctor on October the 27th. So I was there for a completely unrelated issue. I was having trouble healing after surgery that I had last year. And we didn't know why that was happening. But we ran my blood work, and we found out that I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
Not a really big surprise, considering now that I look back and I see the crappy way that I ate.
You know,
two large sweet teas from Chick-fil-A was not uncommon. Pretty much eating anything and everything I could possibly want. I had the burger that has the Krispy Kreme donuts as the bun. I mean, that was, I was game to try anything. So it wasn't a really big surprise. And, looking back, I can see how terribly unhealthy it was. And a lot of people still think that kind of the way that I eat is unhealthy, but
With all the pictures of bacon that you put up?
Well, yeah, that's true. That is actually one of the most exciting parts is all the bacon that I do get to eat. So what questions do you have for me about how this whole thing got started and what kind of happened for me and how we can potentially help other people who might be looking at some of the same issues that I did?
Well, how did you decide that keto was the way to go for you?
Okay, so when I first got the news from the doctor, he outlined a few things that he wanted me to do. He wanted me to cut my calories to 1,500 a day, which was cutting them in half.
Right.
He also wanted me to exercise a lot. And both of those things I did. But what I found was I started researching how type 2 diabetes is treated in other countries, specifically in Norway, Sweden, Finland, you know, they take a very different view than we do here in the United States, in that they are focused on reducing the number of carbohydrates and increasing the number of fats, because what they see is not only does it change how you look at food, and but it changes how your body uses food for energy. And so I found that the easiest way for me to meet my doctor's recommendations of 1,500 calories a day was to adopt a ketogenic diet. And I have to give a lot of credit to my friend Anna Martin. She'd been keto for probably 8 months or so before I started. And so she really gave me, she pointed me in the right direction and has been very encouraging. Her family has been very encouraging. And together we have lost a whole, what is now me.
Wow.
Between her and me alone, we've lost currently a whole me. So between the two of us, I think we've lost 180 pounds, and I'm just under that. I'm at 175 now.
Wow.
And when I started on this journey, I was right at 250.
That's impressive. I mean, those results are, you know, I'm a person who has always struggled with it.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, I got winded walking up the steps to where we're recording, and I'm a lot bigger than you saw me last time.
Sure.
Since we've worked together, I've gone through a divorce and
right.
found that, you know, my drug of habit is food.
Sure.
And so I've spent 6 years feeding that. And,
okay.
you know, that's when you posted about, you know, hey, who would be interested in having this conversation? I was all in because you mentioned it before. I'd seen the results and I thought, how does that work? Because I want to try that.
Well, the beauty of it is there was not a whole lot of exercise. Mm-hmm. I haven't been running. I haven't been, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot. Now, the things that I do now, I'm a lot more active,
mm-hmm.
Just because it feels good.
Sure.
I've often said, and I know that there are people who've seen on Facebook and who've talked to me in person, they've heard it and they're probably tired of hearing it, but 37 feels better than 27 did. And 37 even feels better than 22 did.
Wow.
Just by changing some of the things about the way that I eat. And it has really just changed a lot about me. And so, you know, I probably wouldn't be considering some of the crazy things that I'm considering doing. I'm looking at rock climbing. I'm actually thinking about running a little bit because it doesn't hurt. You know?
Right.
It isn't something where I am just absolutely... that I'm winded when I run more than 10 feet.
Right.
It's actually something that's possible. And, you know, the biggest exercise that I've done is walking in this whole journey. And that's just because it felt good to do it. And the exercise has been kind of an after effect just because I feel so much better.
So in your transition from changing into the ketogenic diet... coming from the background and the lifestyle, what was your process? Did you just say I'm going to wipe the slate and start all at once?
Or? Yeah, it was a complete stop. It was a willpower change. It was cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Once I figured out that this was going to be the way to do it, you know, in the very beginning, I saw how difficult it was to kind of meet my doctor's recommendations for me, just kind of reducing calories. And so what I ended up doing was I said, you know what, this makes a lot of sense. I'm going to try it. And one of the biggest things that happened was, and it was an immediate change for me, was when I changed the empty calories of what I drink.
Mm-hmm.
No more soda, no more sweet tea, no more beer. In fact, the last beer that I had before adopting the way that I eat, now I've had some rare and appropriate things. That's a term that I learned from Penn Jillette when I read his book about how he lost all the weight on his crazy potato diet, which I would not recommend to anybody. It sounded absolutely awful. But I actually went to one of the local breweries here in Indy, Black Acre, where I was hosting Liberty and Chill every Friday. And I had my last beer there. I had my last sweet tea that day. I planned to never have it again because I was like, you know what? I basically appended everything that my doctor said all of his suggestions with, or you could die. And that was a big motivator for me.
Sure.
And so that was kind of how I got started, and it was completely cold turkey. You know, again, cutting out sweet tea was a huge thing. I'm from the South, and you know, that's a staple of the diet.
It's never as good up here, though.
Oh, well, I don't know. Chick-fil-A was really good.
Though,
but so. Yeah, exactly. And McAllister's is a close second, also out of the South. And, you know, being from the land of Coke, I drank a lot of soda. Even though I was a Pepsi guy, I drank a lot of soda. And so those kind of things are, you know, what I cut out. And that was a huge change. Interestingly enough, it also cut out caffeine, cold turkey. At the same time that I'm making all these changes, but because they were my caffeine delivery method.
Okay.
It was a huge change for me, but I can say now that I have more energy. I get up without an alarm in the morning. I don't have trouble sleeping. I don't have to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. As soon as my head hits the pillow, I fall asleep. It's fantastic. I don't think I need as much sleep as I did. I was setting aside 9 hours and still feeling tired all day and having to get something to drink to wake me up, to get me going in the morning, and I don't need that anymore.
Now, is caffeine something that in the diet is not allowed? Or
no, it's totally allowed. In fact, there are a lot of people who do coffee as part of their daily routine. They actually do the bulletproof coffee with the butter or the MCT oil, or you know, they do all of that, and you know, more power to them. I just found that when I cut out all of the sugar that came with the empty drink calories that I was taking in, that I didn't really need the caffeine. You know, I went through that, you know, the caffeine withdrawal at the same time I'm onboarding medicine and I'm changing the way that I eat, you know, the so-called keto flu that happens a couple days in. So I went through all that the first week.
Okay.
And it was a big lifestyle change, but it was definitely for the best, and I'm glad that it all happened together so that I didn't have to take those things separately.
Just tell me a little bit about the keto flu. I've read about it, but describe for me what happened for you. Well, not necessarily in detail.
No, I don't think anybody wants that, but it's basically your body's rejection of your new way of eating, in that it's the carbs coming back and saying, we need more of these. We want more of these. Mm-hmm. And so you feel kind of weak. You feel achy, just like you do when you have the flu. You're not necessarily throwing up. You're not necessarily having some of the other issues that you do with the flu with regard to your digestive system, but you're definitely not feeling your best. And there are a lot of folks that, you know, that's enough to keep them on the carb train. Because it can feel pretty bad, but it only lasts about a day or so, and then you're beyond it. And you can actually supplement some of the things that you're eating by taking magnesium to help with that. That's actually a supplement that I take every day just to help keep those kind of feelings away. And in all honesty, I haven't actually been sick since I had my surgery last March. I've not had a cold.
Wow.
I've not had the sniffles. I've not had a cough. And I was perpetually sick before then.
Okay. So then describe a little bit for me what is in I hate to call it a diet because,
sure,
you know, but in the way that you're eating, what is included and what's out, what's excluded, and just a brief overview of.
So basically you're wanting to cut your carbs to as few as possible. I have 20 a day or fewer, and that's total carbs, not net carbs, total carbs. And at the beginning, I split them up when I was still eating 3 meals a day to about 7 per meal.
Okay.
So that it wasn't a big, you know, there were times where I would save them up to have them at one meal because there was something special that I wanted. But for the most part, it is meats, it is tons of cheese for me because I absolutely love it. It is green leafy vegetables, but there are, I don't eat fruit. There are some keto folks who will do blueberries, some raspberries, but for the most part, there's hardly any fruit. There's no root vegetables, no potatoes, obviously no bread, and sugar is the devil. processed sugar, raw sugar, all of it. It doesn't work in the way, it doesn't fuel your body in the way that a keto diet does. And you're exactly right, it isn't a diet. It is a way of eating and a way that you change your mentality about how you're eating, using it for fuel and trying to figure it out. Because basically what you're trying to do is flip a switch. You're trying to stop being a sugar burner and to start being a fat burner. And when I say burn, I mean that's what you're using, that's what you're burning for energy. And so if you're burning sugar, then all the fat that you eat sticks to you. When you're burning fat, then not only are you burning the fat that you're bringing on from your plate, but as your body switches to burning fat, you become less and less hungry. And you get to the point where you're burning the fat off your body. And so that to me was really interesting, and you can see in some of the things that I've shared, I was a really big dude. Mm. Not so much anymore.
Right.
And so it was that change. It was the change of going from being a sugar burner to being a fat burner, and you get to the point where you're just not hungry. I mean, there were times where I had to force myself to eat because I needed to eat to take medicine when I was still on my meds. And so that to me showed me that, hey, maybe I'm onto something. And it's something that is very prevalent. I actually started intermittent fasting as a result of that. It helped with my blood sugar. It helped with a lot of the things that I was battling. And so I got to the point where I eat once a day. And in all honesty, I could go 2 or 3 days if I needed to or wanted to. Without eating, because my body is so attuned to burning fat. And I still have plenty for my body to burn. So once I flip that switch and I'm a fat burner, I remain a fat burner.
Okay. So then what sort of, you said you take magnesium supplements.
Yeah.
What other supplements do you take for, getting some of those nutrients that you're not getting from foods that you're not eating anymore?
Multivitamin.
Okay.
I take a lot of things that help with my blood sugar and help with some of the other non-dietary things. I take B12 because I was on medicine that basically zaps B12 from your body.
Okay.
So I take a sublingual B12 every day. I take cinnamon in a pill form. It's called Cinsulin. I get it because it's the only non-medicine that has actually been studied to show that it helps lower blood sugar. And so those are some of the things that I do just to make sure that that's always been my focus. The weight loss was only because it would help with blood sugar, and it would help with my insulin resistance, and it would help me get off medicine.
Insulin resistance is more of a medical, that wasn't necessarily diet driven, that was just...
No, that is diet driven.
Okay.
Because basically what happens, and this is, again, I'm not a doctor, I don't think that anybody listening should take anything that I say as medical advice, but what I found was that basically because I had overloaded my body with so much sugar that I was constantly releasing insulin.
Okay.
And in doing that, my body became resistant to it, and so I would have to release more and more and more to handle all of the sugar. And I would continue to consume the sugar. Now I've found I feel terrible when I have something that's sugar-laden. And so it's my body's response saying, hey, you haven't been doing this. You need to make sure that you keep not doing this, so we're going to make sure that you feel absolutely awful. One of the first rare and appropriate celebrations I had was on my birthday. I'd been on keto for about 6 weeks at the time. And I had a third of a slice of cheesecake. I could easily put away two of the slices before.
Right.
I had a third of a slice, and about an hour and a half later, I was feeling absolutely awful. It was probably the worst stomach pain I've ever felt. It was my body saying, whoa, what are you doing? You need to stop this. And so, I stopping sugar totally changed the way. I mean, I taste it now. Like, I taste it in the chicken at Chick-fil-A. They add in their breading and stuff, they actually add sugar.
Okay.
And so, and in some of their grilled stuff, there's still some sugar in there as well. And I can taste it. I can taste how sweet it is. I can taste how sweet a lot of things are now that previously I was like, that's it. And so it's
so
a really
feel
interesting.
Like it's bitter now?
No, it's not actually. It's very filled with flavor. It's just a matter of now it's a lot more prevalent when I do encounter it, and even when it's very subtle, now I'm actually tasting it.
Wow.
And so again, it just goes back to it's the change in how I've been eating and those kind of things.
So, how did you go about making the change to your lifestyle? That this, or how big of a change to your lifestyle did you find this becoming, at least trying to adapt to a different way of eating, especially considering, you know, when you're on the go, there's nothing
right.
but processed garbage
yes.
around you.
Well, the cool thing is not much changed. You know, it was ordering burgers without buns. It was looking for salads that are out that are already made. It was eating breakfast food a whole lot more outside of, you know, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Probably the most frequent meal that I eat is bacon and eggs.
Okay.
And I'm talking 6 slices of bacon and half a dozen eggs with plenty of cheese. And I mean, that's enough to fuel me till dinner the next day. But I probably eat that for dinner 2 to 3 times a week. I keep the butcher counter at Kroger with their Applewood smoked bacon. Super busy, and they have actually noticed an increase because I'm in there probably buying 2 pounds a week of bacon. And back in March, I actually went through a period where every meal I consumed bacon as part of it. If it was just adding it, that works. If it was, you know, focusing on it, that was it too. But I made sure that I was getting bacon with every meal in the month of March, and that was just kind of a fun thing to do because when it comes to the way that I eat, it's the perfect macro food in that there's a lot of fat, there's a moderate amount of protein, and there's hardly any carbs, only what the sugar and stuff that you may get when you cure it, and not all bacon, I mean, uncured bacon has no sugar, and so you can actually find it so that you're not even tasting it.
It seems like that's the perfect gateway drug to keto as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Bacon is delicious for many, many, many people, and it's a great way to make sure that you're kind of sticking to what you need to do. And there are a lot of keto folks who meal prep. You know, that's not necessarily my lifestyle. You noted that, you know, often we're on the go and it's processed crap everywhere. Well, the cool thing is if you go around the outside of the grocery store, and none of the aisles, except maybe the cleaning products and the laundry supplies, you're going to actually eat a lot healthier, no matter what you do. And so as a keto guy, I'd skip the fruit. I skip the potatoes. You know, I'm getting the leafy greens. I have found a love of collard greens. I have found that I really like green beans now. I have always loved broccoli. I've always loved asparagus. I just eat them more, and I've found that there are new things that are interesting to me. Spaghetti squash is something that I never thought was going to be interesting until I was looking at ways to replace the idea of spaghetti, and you know, use the spaghetti squash in place of the noodles, and you're, you know, not as many carbs. There are plenty of carbs in that, but you know, if you keep an eye on what you're doing, and again, stay on the outside of the grocery store. Don't go down the up and down the aisles because there's not a whole lot there for you. As a ketoer or as a Whole30 person or as a vegan, that you're really going to get out of those things. And so for me, it was about just looking at what I could do. I knew I wasn't going to be able to meal prep, but I knew that there were small changes that I could make. I do cook more. Mm-hmm. than I used to. I used to eat out probably 95% of the time. Now it's probably down to about 60% of the time. But I do eat at home more. I cook more. I eat a lot more steak. I eat a lot more bacon, if that was even possible. But again, I have to keep backup bacon in the freezer just in case I'm out of the regular bacon. And but it really, you're right, that is a gateway drug for the ketoer is bacon. But there are even vegan ketoers, and I don't know how that works, but it's a lot of nuts, I guess, and a lot of leafy greens, but that just isn't going to work for me. I'm very much a meatitarian.
Sure.
I'm actually enjoying, you know, eating the fat from that people will cut off their steak because I know that it's good for me and the way that I'm eating. And once you kind of get past the idea that you're just eating straight up fat, man, it tastes so good.
What advice do you give to somebody like me who is in dire need of a change?
Sure.
In fact, I just had an annual checkup, and I've always been, my doctor's always been amazed that he runs all the blood work,
mm-hmm.
and it's always come back. I have healthier blood work than most of his patients.
Wow.
I'm just overweight. And so that's always been my fallback. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm just fat. That's all.
Sure.
Not really anything. And then for the first time, he came back and said, well, you're pre-diabetic. You know, you're the blood work came back, and you're a little high there. So,
yeah.
It's even more, this timed out perfectly for me. It's like,
sure.
Okay, I got to really buckle down and make the change. So what do you tell me to get started? What's the advice you give to somebody who's totally new to this?
Okay. So here's my advice if you're getting started. Check out dietdoctor.com. He has a fantastic beginning where it's literally a getting on the low fat or low carb, high fat diet. Tells you the foods that you can and can't eat. Tells you the things you can and can't drink. And it's not that you can and can't, it's that these are the things that are going to be really good for what you're doing. These are going to be the things that are not good for what you're doing. And it's flipping that switch in your mind and finding the foods that you like and eating those. And really becoming a label reader, because you would be surprised at how many things you think are no carb. You know, I can say no bread, no breading on things that are fried, no fruit, no sugar, but there are things that are sneaky that you don't even realize. So you really do have to read labels. The beauty of that is you get to see how much you can. I'm a numbers guy, so I can really minimize the number of carbs that I'm eating and maximize the amount of fat that I'm eating in the way that I can add to what I'm having. So I'll add cheese to stuff. I'll add butter to stuff that I would never have added to before. And I discovered Kerrygold butter during the time that I started keto. And that was amazing. I mean, it has totally changed the way that I cook. It is totally, like, even my scrambled eggs are so much better because I'm using that butter.
Yeah.
But I would say sit down, figure out what you're eating, just tracking food, no matter what you're doing. Just tracking what you're doing, whether it's MyFitnessPal or Fat Secret or some other app that's out there. Just so you can see what kind of food you're eating and how many calories, how many grams of carbs, how many grams of fat that are in it is going to be a huge change, because you're going to be like, wow, I had no idea that I was consuming 3,200 calories in an average day, or that I was eating, you know, 200 grams of carbs in a day. Because when you're looking at what you were normally eating and you take a look at focusing on those macros, keeping your fat high, the amount of calories that are coming into your body from fat, keeping your protein moderate, and keeping your carbs very, very, very low, you figure out what's going to work for you. There are people that track them to this day. I'm a lazy ketoer. I figured out in the first couple of weeks the things that worked, mm-hmm. the foods that I liked, and then basically I was to the point where, okay, fine, I've got a pretty good spread of the things that I like. And so I know that these things are going to be things that I can eat very easily, very regularly. And if I have a question about something, I'll look it up in the app. And so I really did focus that way. And again, I was eating out. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are plenty of ways that you can eat out keto. And I've actually used on the Instagram for You Can't Outrun the Fork, which I had another idea before I began this, before Kat gave me the idea to talk about this in this way, where I actually look at You know, I took pictures of the food that I was eating. I was eating out. You know, there's a salad at Chick-fil-A. I'm a big Chick-fil-A fan. I always have been. I think they're a fantastic company. The food is delicious. Their sweet tea is no longer a part of my life. But I think that they are, you know, there are some really awesome things that they've done, and I'm going to continue to support that business. It was just a matter of finding what I could eat. The grilled nuggets are delicious. Mm-hmm. There's a salad that's there that's super high in fat, super low in carbs, and it's, you know, I actually had it for lunch today. And it's the spicy Southwest salad. It's got the avocado lime ranch. You take a look at the back of the dressing packet and you're like, oh my God, that's a lot of fat. But then you look and see that there's hardly any carbs. And, you know, we've been taught for so long, low fat is the way to go. Low calorie is the way to go. Well, you can naturally get to low calorie if you are changing what you're focused on. And so many of the low fat options are super high in carbs because they're trying to make it taste good still. And by lowering the fat, they're ending up making it so that it's super high in carbs, super high in salt, super high in sugar to make it taste good. I have some delicious meals and I don't miss sugar at all. And again, rare and appropriate. You know, there are times where I think it's totally fine for me to have a beer. When I was at Oktoberfest in Cincinnati, it was the kickoff for this year. I totally had a beer. When I got great news from my doctor, when he took me off meds, I had a night where I ate and drank all of the terrible things. I had dirty tots from Fat Dan's. I had pizza. I had beer. Like, I went absolutely hog wild. But again, it was rare and appropriate. One time, one meal, once I'd been through all of that, and we're talking 9 months after my diagnosis, that, you know, I really focused on eating the way that I needed to eat that would help me. And then I had a rare and appropriate moment. And then, you know, there's something special. Let's say it's my sister's birthday. I really want to do, you know, or I'm at a restaurant that I've never been to before and they have something that looks absolutely amazing. Again, this isn't the way that I'm eating all the time. It's every couple of weeks.
Right.
One meal. One thing here. Maybe I'll have a bite of ice cream because it's my birthday. You know, I'm not really focused. I don't miss French fries, surprisingly. I do kind of miss tater tots.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. But that's because of all the great stuff that you can put on it. But, you know, tonight for dinner, I had wings here at the club. They don't have a good sauce for it, so I just had them plain and dipped them in ranch. And, you know, that's going to be a four, I think it's four carbs and chicken wings that are not breaded. That was delicious. But, yeah, the key for somebody who's starting is taking a look at what you should eat versus what you shouldn't eat. And again, you're pretty much going to cut out bread. You're going to cut out soda for sure. And you do have to be careful with those fake sugars too. That was one of the things that I found. And again, my focus was blood sugar. And I was looking at what raised it. And there are a lot of fake sugars that raise it. In fact, Splenda is worse for my blood sugar than if I were to eat straight up cane sugar. Splenda raises it even more. The sucralose, it's just the way that my body reacts to it. And what I found was with the fake sugars, I was craving the sweets more. And I was never satisfying it. And so it made it really difficult to get through those cravings. Once I cut out fake sugar, whether it's NutraSweet or Equal or Splenda or whatever, once you cut out the fake sugar, you no longer have those cravings for the sweet stuff. And I found that it was probably 2 to 3 weeks in, I didn't care about, you know, having something sweet. That wasn't something that I was interested in anymore just because it didn't affect me in the same way. And so, yeah, starting out, just kind of figure out what you can and can't eat or what you should and shouldn't eat. I hate to say can and can't, you know, because it's about taking control. It isn't saying, oh, well, I can't have that because there are too many carbs. It's, well, there are a lot of carbs in that, but I'm choosing not to have it because I'm more focused on becoming a healthier person. And that, for once I was really thinking about things in that way and not depriving myself, but choosing instead to eat in a way that I knew was going to be better for me, it just became so much easier.
Now, how long has this been around? Because fad diets come and go,
mm-hmm.
and you know, has this been around long enough to have people looking at it with long-term results? Like, a lot of things can work in the short term,
yeah,
and then in the long term, there's some detrimental thing that hits,
right.
and you go, "I didn't know about that."
So. Right. Well, this is actually the way that we used to treat diabetes 100 years ago.
Really?
It was adopting this diet. You know, you take a look at what you look at as the standard American diet. It's very sad, and that's not. I didn't mean to like say that in that way. Like, if you actually look at it, SAD, standard American diet, it's very sad.
No. Wow.
But it is, you know, you take a look at the things that we've seen with the food pyramid or my plate or whatever it is, and they just don't line up. You take a look at what the American Diabetes Association is saying to do. It doesn't really make sense. If you're limiting the thing that's actually causing your body to react and in a type 2 diabetic way, it is you being resistant to your own body's insulin. Because you are just pumping out so much. In the long term, there have been people who've been doing this for forever. Atkins was a little more protein heavy, but you remember probably in the late 90s, early aughts, that was a really big thing. We saw Atkins things at Applebee's on the menu, and you know, you've still got the Atkins stuff, the treats that they have in the pharmacy. Instead of in the real food, and again, you know, those things are okay, but there's a lot of fake sugar in it. You know, to make it taste good. You know, do you really think that chocolate is going to be good for you in any way, shape, or form? It's really sweet. It's either going to be real sugar or fake sugar to make it sweet.
There's some dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate is not bad.
Okay.
Because it's kind of bitter, actually.
Yeah.
But again, when you're eating keto and you're not, you know, shoveling sugar into your mouth, the dark chocolate actually tastes pretty sweet too. In terms of long term, yeah, there are some, I would definitely say, again, make sure it's cool with your doctor. It's not medical advice. I'm just sharing what worked for me. What worked for me was cutting carbs, increasing fat, and making it so that I was living in a completely different way and flipped that switch from sugar to fat.
Okay.
That's really the best that I can describe it.
I don't think I have any other questions.
Okay.
Bring any with you.
Awesome. No, I just wanted to kind of get, you know, give you an opportunity to talk about it, and it was a great way for me to introduce why I started keto, and to kick off the podcast in this way. And I'm looking to do more conversations like this. So if there are people out there that want to adopt a healthier way of eating, I don't care what it is. I'm just telling you that. The reason that it's called You Can't Outrun the Fork is because I have found that no matter how much exercise you do, if you still eat like crap, you're still going to feel like crap, and you're not going to be a healthy person. And I found that, you know, I want to exercise because I feel better because of the way that I changed the way that I eat.
Cool.
So I want to thank Paul very much for joining us, and for the We Are Libertarians Network for allowing me to begin this. Hopefully this will be something that we continue, and we improve quality for sure. So again, subscribe on iTunes. We'll be setting up things like Patreon and PayPal and those things going forward if this is something that you like. Make sure you check out the Facebook page, You Can't Outrun the Fork. We also have an Instagram at You Can't Outrun the Fork. And we'll be posting these episodes along with some other content at youcantoutrunthefork.com. Again, thanks again, Paul.
Thanks,
I really enjoyed talking to you, and I really look forward to hearing from you what you're able to do if you do decide that you're going to adopt this way of eating, or any way of eating that is going to be a little bit better than I know that I used to eat. And so, again, thanks a bunch. I appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night and talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.